This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, so first of all, we have a sponsor for today's Shmooze. It's very unusual. I think it's the first time in history, but somebody asked me to do it, so we'll do it. It's sponsored by the Torah Suites. If you're looking for weekly inspiration on the Parsha, insights into marriage, profound stories, practical halacha, or short quotes, you can share at the Shabbos table the Torah Suites, a weekly magazine that is perfect for companion, is the perfect companion for anyone seeking to grow. To sign up, simply email torahsuites@gmail.com, and the Hanukkah issue is out now. Okay. That's history just now we just made. Maybe it's the first of many, who knows? Okay. The Parsha starts out, Parshas Vayeshev, with a pasuk that we should all be a little bothered by, besides for the actual simple meaning of the pasuk, which should bother us, but I'm speaking about more of a dikduk, or a choice of lashon, which is also very troubling. Pasuk says that Yosef brings the dibasam ra'a el avihem. He brings the bad news, the bad reports that he saw about his brothers. He brought some lashon hara, basically, about his brothers, and he reported this to his father, which didn't, of course, endear Yosef to the brothers. Nobody likes when somebody snitches on them. And the brothers were no exception. And because of that, Vayisnu Yosef, they began to really not like Yosef in a very big way. The pasuk says, the lashon is, Vayave Yosef es dibasam ra'a el avihem. Yosef brings, Vayave. Now, if I was writing the pasuk, I think I would choose other terminology than that word Vayave. I would choose Vayisaper. Yosef told over Esti Basam Ra'al Avim. Maybe I would use a lashon of Vayaged Yosef Esti Basam Ra'al Avim. Also a different expression to report, to tell over, to recount. Vayave Yosef, he brought. It's a funny lashon. When I think of bringing something, I could bring you a gift. I could bring you a present. I could bring you a cheftza. I could bring something to you that's tangible. But how do I bring dibasam ra? It seems like an unusual term that Yosef brought dibasam ra. He's bringing words. How do you bring words? That was a question that had bothered me for a very long time. Vayaveh Yosef. And I think the Torah is trying to relate to us a very, very important yisaid when it comes to the Isser of Lashon Hara. The Isser of Lashon Hara, we know, is a very, very, very grave Isser. It's probably one of the greatest Isserim in the Torah. In fact, we know that the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because of Lashon Hara, Sinas Chinam / Lashon Hara. It's Shkula, the Gemara says, Sinas Chinam to the three biggies, the three cardinal sins of Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayos, Shvichas Tamim. It's a big thing. Lashon Hara is a very, very big Avera. And yet, for some reason, and this is not to speak Lashon Hara about Klal Yisrael, but for some reason, many of us are not nizar properly in the Isser HaChamra of Lashon Hara. Just the fact. I don't think anyone would consider, even remotely, even if they are really, really starving, to go into a local McDonald's and order a cheeseburger. Why? Because it's an Isser Daraisa, Basar B'Chalav, etc. But yet, on a daily basis, we really, many of us, just sort of casually do an Avera that has count very many, many Isurim. The Chavetz Chaim counts, over a dozen assays, over a dozen Laisa assays, every time you speak Lashon Hara, every word of Lashon Hara. And yet, we just are very flippant about it. We almost don't even, it doesn't even sometimes enter our airspace that this is even a problem. despite the fact that the Chafetz Chaim reintroduced us to this mitzvah. It was a mitzvah nishkachas, it was a mitzvah that was a mace mitzvah. People were very, very shvach with the zihiros of speaking Lashon Hara. The Chafetz Chaim detected that, and so he made it one of his major life's missions. He had many life's missions, but possibly the greatest of all of them was to tell Klal Yisrael, we have a problem. You can't speak Lashon Hara. He wrote Svarim about Shmiras HaLashon, Chafetz Chaim. And he wrote, and he went around the world, around while he was selling his Svarim, and wherever he went, he would tell people about how terrible an Isser Lashon Hara is. He made it his life's mission. And then we have wonderful Svarim written about Lashon Hara. A lesson a day, and laws of Lashon Hara, this Lashon Hara, that Lashon Hara. We know that it's a problem, and yet we seem to be very, very lax about it. And the question is why? Why is it that we hopefully don't steal, we don't do Avei Dezara, we don't do Basar B'chol, we don't do Nevela, we're not Mechal Shabbos, because those we would probably die before we would do, but yeah, Lashon Hara is something that we are so easy to do. It's so, you're sitting in a dorm room and one guy brings up another guy and now you start chiming in without any guilt, and you walk away as if like you didn't do anything. Like, what happened? How is it that it's an Isser in the Torah? Like all other Isserim, the same size font. And it's a bigger Isser. And yet, the other Isserim were very machmir about, but yet the Isser of Lashon Hara, many, I'm not saying everybody, there are people that Baruch Hashem are very machmir on it, but yet some of us go through tkufas. I think that's the fairest way to say it. Sometimes we are very nizer in it, and then sometimes we like sort of, schwachen up in it, and we start just, again, shooting off our mouths, speaking about other people without any concern. Why is that? How does such a thing happen? And I think that it all happens because psychologically, a person just says, it's just words. At the end of the day, I'm not doing an isser. I'm not doing anything that's tangible. I'm not eating chazer. I'm not going to do something that's mamish, a physical act that's usser. Lashon Hara is just schmoozing. Lashon Hara is just talking. It's just, we're just talking. It's casual. There's no consequences to it. We're just enjoying our discussion. We're shooting the breeze. It's just nice. We have freedom of speech. We're able to talk, Baruch Hashem. And, if we have a shmooze and we're talking and we're... So if people come up in conversation, that's just regular, normal social activity. And I think that the Pasuk is saying something very important here. If we would have used the Lashon Vayisaper, Yosef Esti Basamra, Vayaged Yosef, again, it's Sipur, it's Haggadah, it's talking, it's shmoozing, it's reporting, it's just communication. The Torah is telling us that these words that Yosef brought were not just words. It wasn't just oxygen. It wasn't just carbon dioxide. It wasn't just, hot air coming out of Yosef's mouth. Vayave, it was a cheftza. Every word that was being spoken to his father derogatorily about his brothers, whatever Yosef's intention was, Yosef was a tzaddik, whatever his intentions were, and I'm sure they were pure, but at the end of the day, the Torah calls it the Baslam Ra'a. And it's a cheftza. It's vayave. It's like just like as if I would be bringing a table from one corner of the room to the other, it would be saying, vayave es ha-shulchan. If I bring words to you, if I'm talking to you, it's not just schmoozing. It's not just conveying, communicating, talking, discussing. It's a vayave. It's literally like lobbing missiles. Every word that you're saying is a cheftza. It's vayave. It's taking something and you're, as much as you think that it's nothing, as much as you think it's just nothing but air and it evaporates and it dissipates into the ether, it's not true. It's vayave. It's a cheftza. There is actually activity that's happening every time we speak. And so that's why we have to be careful when we're speaking Lashon Hara, because it's not just Sipur Ba'alma, it's not just Dvarim Ba'alma. You're actually doing things that are highly, highly destructive. It's a Vayave, there's a Cheftza that's being formed here through your words. Your words are actually formulating things And those things are very, very powerful. You know, they're powerful in many senses. They're powerful in the sense that the Nefesh HaChaim, Reb Chaim Volozhiner, wrote a sefer called Nefesh HaChaim, which is highly, highly recommended. If you're looking for something like a classic that you have to know, there are certain things that you should know. Really, we should know all Torah, of course. But if you're, you know, at your age, at your stage of life, and you're looking for something like Geshmak, Mamashistik, Torah, like Hashkafa, everything combined, I really, really urge you to open up a sefer called Nefesh HaChaim by Reb Chaim Volozhiner, Talmud Mubak of the Vilna Gaon. Two sharim in the sefer primarily. The middle two, there's four sharim in the whole sefer. The middle two are very highly Kabbalistic. I've never touched those sharim. But the first shar and the last shar are very important and very understandable. And if you have a problem understanding them, then you can always come to me and I'll try my best to help you. But it's very vital that you learn these two sharim because it's really all that we're about. The last shar is talking about the importance of Torah, which for every Ben Torah is 101 reading. You have to know how important it is to learn Torah, how important it is to what it does for a person. Torah Lishma, he discusses at length. That's Shar Dalet. Shar Aleph is speaking about the way a person is very powerful. The way a person is Nivra B'Tselem Elikim. Hashem created us in his image. What does that mean? In the image of God. Not just in the image of Hashem, the image of Elikim. Elikim is a Lashon Takif, U'bal HaKaychais, U'bal Yecheles Kulei. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Almighty, but he created us that way. We're Almighty as well. What does that mean? How am I Almighty? I could barely, you know, lift this table. How am I Mighty? Says the Nefesh HaChaim that a person is much stronger, much more powerful than he knows. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wired the entire Bria, he says, in the sense that everything that he does, when I do a mitzvah, this morning we davened, we put on our tefillin, okay? Putting on tefillin, I don't know if we had kavanah, we didn't have kavanah, we did it really quickly, or we actually thought about what we were doing, but you should know, he says, that when you put on tefillin or you do any mitzvah, what's actually happening is not just, okay, you did a mitzvah, check, and in Shemayim after 120 you get schar. You know what really is going on when you do a mitzvah? What's really going on is that you're creating, you can't see it because our eyes are not able to see it. But if you'd be able to have like ruchniyistika glasses and know what you're really doing when you're putting on tefillin, you're really sending up like an atomic bomb. And it goes off, and it goes all through the Ilamas al Yainim. The Malachim are like staring at it, coming at them. They like move out of the way. It goes all the way up to the Kisei HaKavod, like a billion miles up, more. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes it, and he's so happy with it that he ricochets that kayach, all of that energy, down to planet Earth, and it has dividends of bracha throughout the entire universe. That's what we do every single time we do a mitzvah, tefillin, we daven, we learn. Whatever we're doing, this is what's happening. We're literally bringing to through the all of the Olamos Elyonim, Kedusha, Tara, power, and it comes down and it creates bracha on the world. The opposite, of course, is true as well. When a person does an Avera, if you thought you should feel guilty about the Avera itself, you don't even know, because what's happening is it's going and it's creating destruction throughout the Olamos Elyonim, and then it unleashes destruction down Lamata, and it could create havoc. It could wreak havoc and desolation and tragedy throughout the world. So sometimes, like we're reading the news, and we see that there was a flood in the Middle East somewhere in Syria, and you know hundreds of people were killed. We don't know why it happened, and we just keep scrolling. It's not Eretz Yisrael. It's not in the GME. It's not in America. We see like in there's sometimes these tsunamis in the Pacific Rim, and it could literally kill thousands of people, destroy thousands of homes. And you look at it. All right, it's interesting as a graphic. You know, like it's interesting news, but it's not in the GME. I don't live in the Pacific Rim. What do I have to do with it? Says Rav Chaim Volozhiner, it's very possible that when you read about these stories, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is putting them in front of us, not just as a news item and to keep scrolling, but to say, you know, maybe it's time for me to do tshuva. Why do I have to do tshuva? I didn't do this. Maybe you did. Because maybe when you did something wrong, that unleashed torrents of destruction, of klala on the world, and that was all as a result of what I did. That's what it means to be Nivra B'Tzelem Elokim. Tzelem Elokim means that you are more powerful. You're in the driver's seat of creation. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyachol puts man in the driver's seat. He takes the back seat. He says, it's your car. Here are the keys. And you're in charge. What am I in charge? I'm just, you're Nivra B'Tzelem Elokim. You are almighty. In the sense that your mitzvahs will control the direction, the course of planet Earth. And your Averis will as well. That's an amazing thesis that Rav Chaim Volozhiner offers. And it's something that really should, you know, shake us to our core, or empower us, better said, to our core, to understand that we're not just little people, you know, standing over here and specks of dust and, you know, in the big picture. We're so powerful, more powerful than a human being could ever fathom. As I'm talking about it, I don't even understand what I'm saying. But it's something that read Shaar Echad, Shaar Rishon of Nefesh HaChaim. You'll be amazed at what he says. It really empowers every human being to understand that they are godly, in a very real sense. It's not just, you know, in a spiritual. It's real. Now in Shaar Aleph Perak Yud Gimel, he explains a pasuk in Amos. Amos is one of those, you know, books of Navi that I don't think too many people are familiar with. Amos, you know, Amos is an English, there's a famous Amos Bunim, was one of the big American leaders, lay leaders of American Torah Jewry in the early. Amos is the English word for Amos. And in Amos, there's a pasuk that's very, very important to know. It just says a simple few words. Umagid la'adam masichai. When a person dies, they will tell him, Masechai, what was your talk? What was your talk? And the simple understanding is you're going to get a transcript of all the words that you ever said in your life, and you're going to have to explain all of it. Like, what did you mean when you said this? What did you mean when you said that? And you're going to say, well, Hashem has time for it? Yeah, there's all the time in the world. It's a world of nitzchi. There's no, you know, you'll have enough time to be grilled about that. Umagid la'ad masechai. You know, in the old days, it would probably be very hard to understand. Today, it's very easy to understand how you can get a transcript. If you go to any podcast, including Great Jewish Podcast, I'm in an advertising mode right now, you can actually, today, all podcasts are automatically, I guess with AI, transcribed. You could actually just get an entire transcript. If you don't want to listen to a podcast for whatever reason, you could just read it. It's just there. In a second, in real time, as I'm speaking, there's right away is being generated my words in writing. So it's not such a chiddush anymore. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent AI, I guess, to give us a little bit of a comprehension of what's going on with every word that we're speaking, both good and bad. If we said Tyra, all of our Tyra is going to appear in transcript form. And if we speak, you know, good stuff about other people, that's going to appear. And if we give chizik to one another, that's going to appear. But if we speak Lashon Hara, that's going to appear as well. Says Reb Chaim Volozhiner, it's not just so simple. Umagid l'adam masecha doesn't mean that you just get a transcript of all you did, of all you said, but you're also going to see the real life consequences of what you said. When you spoke that conversation in 2025 on an Erev Shabbos, you know what? That caused such problems in Afghanistan, or in Eretz Yisrael, or in New York, or in California. You know, there are fires in California. You know why that happened? Because you spoke Lashon Hara, because you said something there. You didn't say something there. And you're going to see, Umagid La'ad Masecha means you're going to see, Lasid Lave, all that you did, good and bad. Maybe the good that we spoke was able to build yeshivas and create prosperity and be able to make people very happy around the world. But the opposite is true also. So, Vayave Yosef, the actual Cheftz of a Dibur, it's real. There's consequences to what we're saying. It's not just schmoozing. It's not just talking. It's not just chilling. It's real, actual activity that's taking place. Just like if I'd be mowing the lawn, nobody would say, oh, no, he's schwitzing, he's doing something. Something is being accomplished. He's mowing the lawn. He's digging a ditch. He's painting a room. You're doing something. There's a chefza involved. You're actually doing something concrete. Don't think that talking is any less concrete than that. It's vayave yosef. It's not just vayesaper. It's not just vayaged. It's vayave. You're bringing something. You're lobbing something. You're creating something. You're doing something actual. But I'll tell you, it's not just the ilam esalyanim. That you're going to say, well, I have to look at the Reb Chaim Volozhiner closely. I don't know exactly what that means. Need to touch it up better. I don't know. Fine. Maskim. Maybe it's not easy for us to understand this concept of Tzelem Elokim. It's a very difficult concept to understand. Fine. I'll give you something that's very easy to understand. And I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to me, by the way. I know that's a quote that all Rabbeim say, but I mean it. I'm not in any way looking at anyone, Chas v'Shalom, as being people that are Mesaper Lashon Hara, but I know that I have weaknesses. I have times that that things are a little too casual. And I'll tell you that there are real life consequences, not in the Olam HaSol Yainim, not tsunamis in the Pacific Rim, but in our own circle of life. Whatever we say has immediate Vayave implications. If somebody comes over to me and just says Lashon Hara about a guy, let's say he says about a guy, it could be another Rebbe that comes over to me, it could be a Talmud, it could be a whatever, it doesn't matter. Somebody says to me about a certain Talmud that he's not so smart. Not so smart. It's not the worst Lashon Hara you could say about somebody. It's not a crime to not be smart. Not telling me he's an Avarian. He's just telling me that he's not so smart. Now, that sticks in my head forever. Not my head. I think everybody's head. If you get even a slight indication about another person, there's files in your brain for every single person that you know. Just like you have, in your phone, you have every single person as a contact. In your brain, you also have a list of contacts, but it's a little bit more complex because in every contact, there is a file that stores information about that. And so if somebody brings up that person's name, it could be today, it could be in 10 or 15 or 20 years from now, I have in my file of that name, that contact, that he's not smart. Now, if you're going to say, well, okay, who cares? It has very real life consequences because a person is going to maybe call me up about him for a shidduch. I get many calls as a reference for guys in yeshiva as a shidduch reference. And I'm not going to say, well, he's not smart. I'm not that not smart. But I might, if they ask me point blank, is he a Baal Kishrin? I might say, I don't know, he's not the sharpest knife in the drawer, but he's a good guy. Now, the truth is that he probably is smart. Just this guy was just speaking Lashon Hara to me. He was just saying he's not smart. But because of the fact that he said that to me, it made a dent in my brain. And now, going forward throughout life, I can never look at him entirely the same. Before I used to think he was a smart guy. Now somebody told me he's not smart. So I'll just always look at him with a little bit of I lower the bar for him. If somebody will ask me about if he's a good guy to hire for a job, I'll say yes, he's a very nice boy. But is he smart? Is he smart? I can't say he's the smartest guy in the world. And because of that, the person might be denied a job that he really needed to support his family. And this goes on and on. We could talk about this, and there's so many applications. And this is how the world works. When you speak Lashon Hara to somebody else, what you're really doing is you're taking a gun. It's probably less dangerous to have a loaded gun sitting on your coffee table with kids running around than to open up your mouth and speak Lashon Hara. Because when you speak Lashon Hara about somebody, you're literally killing them. Words can kill. When you speak Lashon Hara about another person, you're affecting their future. You're affecting their present. You're affecting who their chavrusas might be, which shir they're going to go into, how good a shidduch are they going to do, what kind of job are they going to do, are they going to have friends, are they going to have a community, are they going to ever be able to attain a leadership position in whatever field they want to go into. Why? Because I spoke Lashon Hara about the guy. Now, sometimes, by the way, this is also important to be stated, there are times that it's a mitzvah to speak Lashon Hara almost, and that is when people are calling you a bad shidduch. If people are calling me a bad shidduch, and I know for a fact, firsthand, not just because somebody gossiped to me, but I know firsthand that the guy, let's say, has a terrible temper. If I don't say that to the prospective people, and you have to see the Chavetz Chaim, there's a lot of fine print, you know, exactly what you're allowed to say, and you have to, like, make sure to be very specific, and you can't go out of bounds, and there it's not, but I'm just giving general, not speaking about Hilchas Lashon Hara right now, I'm just giving a general overview of what we're talking about. If you don't tell the person and you know for a fact, you're his roommate, and the guy has like a crazy temper. It happened once in yeshiva. There was a guy years ago, in the early years, and the guy literally had a crazy temper. I know because I saw it myself. He kicked a door down in the dormitories. You know, in the apartments, those doors are not little, thin, nothing doors. They're very chashava, wood, heavy doors with, you know, he kicked the door down. The mamash broke the whole door with it, b'kaisli. And then I get a call, of course, you know, from as a reference. I don't know if I was on his resume or just Stam, you know, being here. And the people asked me, the mother of the girl asked me, Rabbi Bamberger, can you please tell me, you know, anything about the guy? Tell me, you know, she asked me questions. She didn't ask me about temper, but then she says, I hate when they ask me that. Is there anything else that I didn't ask that I should know? That's the worst question. Because that, you know, until now you were able to get away with, you know, assuaging your guilt about not saying that thing because they didn't ask about it. I don't have to, like, volunteer necessarily. Maybe I do. But she didn't. All of a sudden at the end, she asked, is there anything about him that I should know? I said, all right, now that you're asking me, let me be perfectly honest. If I had a daughter in Shidduchim, I would stay far away from this boy because he has a terrible temper. I said that to her. Yeah. And they didn't listen to me. And they ended up getting engaged. They ended up getting married. And they ended up, Rahman al-Islam, getting divorced. So there are times that it is important to be honest. You don't want your daughter or your sister getting married to a crazy guy because some guy was very frum and decided that he was all of a sudden makban, you know, no one's makban lashon hara. All of a sudden comes to the one time that you don't have to be, you know, you can actually speak because you should be speaking, and now all of a sudden everybody's frum. It's ridiculous. There are times you have to be very honest. If this guy is not good, if you feel he's going to be a problem for this girl, then put yourself in their shoes and save their life. But we're not talking about that. We're talking about, you know, when you don't know anything, you're just like, it's just hearsay. Somebody said he's not smart. Somebody says he's, you know, he's not such a frum guy. Somebody, and I don't know that for a fact. I see he's frum. He looks frum. I don't have, you know, if I want to do research, that's one thing. But if you say to me something, true or not, and you're putting something in my mind, that will have a yave consequence. That will be something that is not just schmoozing. Don't think it just ends there. It will actually come into realityville. There's a beautiful story. I love saying this story because it has such, it illustrates this point so well. The Chavetz Chaim, as we said, of course, everybody knows, he was the master of Hilchas Lashon Hara. He was the semel of Lashon Hara. Every Lashon Hara book that comes out will always, forever, have the picture of the Chavetz Chaim on it, and rightfully so. The Chavetz Chaim was once traveling on a Dvar Mitzvah. And there was a younger rabbi that asked the Chavetz Chaim if he could join him, you know, it's a big schus to be able to go with the Chavetz Chaim on a trip. Chavetz Chaim was hesitant, reluctant, but in the end he says, okay, if you want to come, you can come with me. And they start traveling, they get into the horse and wagon, and they go on their way, and they stop off at an inn, a kosher inn. They used to have these little bed and breakfast type of places. He slept there. And the innkeeper was a woman, and she had also like a little restaurant on the, you know, as a part of the services provided in this inn. And it was obviously Mahajer Min HaMahajer, and the Chavetz Chaim ate there. The Chavetz Chaim, together with this other Rav, were sitting and eating dinner together at this inn. And they were talking and learning. They were eating soup. They ordered soup. And the soup came, and the Chavetz Chaim ate it, and this other rabbi ate it. And the innkeeper, the owner of this establishment, comes over as the hostess of the inn, and she knows the Chavetz Chaim, world famous. She said, "Rebbe, is everything good? Are you happy with the soup? Is the soup good? You know, before the first course, with the main." He says, "The soup was delicious. I never had better soup in my life. It's amazing. Love the onions in there, the potatoes in there, delicious." She was very happy. She was beaming. She turns to the other rabbi and says, "You also thought the soup was good?" He said, "The soup was good, but it was a little too salty. A little too much salt in there. Maybe, try to correct the salt soup ratio." And the woman seems a little bit disturbed and she walks away. Nothing. Chavetz Chaim is turning red and white and red and white. And he's ready to explode and he's trying to control himself. And the Rav says, "Everything okay, Rebbe? What's wrong?" He says, "I wrote Svarim about Lashon Hara. I wrote Shmiras HaLashon. I wrote Sefer Chavetz Chaim. I go around the world preaching about Lashon Hara. I took you on this trip as a favor. You asked me for a favor to come along with me, and I let you come. I was reluctant, but I let you come. And you do this to me?" He says, "What did I do? What did I do? We didn't speak Lashon Hara." He says, "You want to bet?" He says, "Well, I spoke Lashon Hara about the soup. I didn't read in Shmiras HaLashon that there's an issue to speak Lashon Hara about soup." He says, "Don't you understand?" He says, "Do you think that this innkeeper, Bechveida Ba'atzma, cooks the soup in the back? Who do you think is cooking the soup in the back of the inn, in the back of the kitchen? It's an almana. There's an old almana. Her husband died. She needs parnasa. So she got a position as the cook in the back of this kitchen. And she's trying her best. And she has Yisayim to support. And what happens? You come and you opened up your mouth. Instead of just saying and following my lead and saying the soup is perfect, the soup is delicious, you had to say that the soup was a little too salty. And you know what's going to happen as a result of this? You think it was just a comment? You think it was just a review on Yelp? You know what's going to happen as a result of the fact that you said this? She's going to go back to the kitchen and she's going to say, the soup was way too salty. And this poor almana is going to say, no, it's not. I this is the recipe I use all the time. It's perfect. And she says, really? Okay, so go argue with the Chavetz Chaim and his companion who felt that the soup was salty. I have a reputation here. I'm trying to have an inn, and you're making the soup way too salty. And she's going to start crying, this almana, because she knows that her job is now a little shaky and she needs to support her Yisayim. And because of this, she's going to start crying and pleading, and this innkeeper is going to be over the lava of Kol Yasam Almana Leisanan. You're not supposed to oppress the widow, oppress the orphan. And she's going to, push back a little bit, and again, the Chavetz Chaim is... And she's going to end up getting fired all because of your vayave, because you said these words. And the Rav, this young Rav, looks at the Chavetz Chaim and says, "B'mechilas kvaid Rabbeinu." And with all due respect, I think we're getting a little bit out of hand over here. I mean, let's get back to real life. That's not happening. She probably went back, just to check on the main, and that nothing why are you saying this? He says, "Come." Chavetz Chaim says, "Let's go ourselves together and see what's actually happening. Don't take my word for it. Let's see." They go back, and sure enough, as if the Chavetz Chaim was mamish reading from a script, from a play, this is the conversation that was taking place in real time between this almana and between the innkeeper. Back and forth, back and forth. The innkeeper was about to fire this almana. The Rav, this young Rav, runs and pleads with the innkeeper, "I'm so stupid that I said that. I'm sorry. The soup was actually delicious. I don't know what possessed me to say that. This almana should win an award. She's an award-winning chef. She's absolutely the best I've ever had. Please forgive her. Please do not." And he was able, b'kayshi gadol, to undo the damage that he did. But normally we don't get that opportunity to do that. Normally we just talk about other people, flippantly, nonchalantly, thinking that it's just shmuzarai, it's just, you know, just guys doing what guys do in the dorm, guys doing what they do in the base medrash, and there's no real life ramifications. The Torah in one word dispels this notion. It's not vayisaper yaisvesti basam ra. It's not vayaged yaisvesti basam ra. It's not vayayimer yaisiv. It's vayave yaisiv. He brought something to the table. There was something real that was happening when he spoke Lashon Hara, not just in the Eilamas Hel Yainim, which comes down with great fierceness in the Eilamas HaTachtainim. No. In real-life conversation, you want to keep things rational. In real-life world conversations, it will affect something. Every time you speak Lashon Hara, you will be affecting somebody's shidduch. You'll be affecting somebody's job. You'll be affecting somebody's chavrusa. You'll be affecting somebody's ability to succeed in life in one form or another. You might be affecting somebody's shalom bayis. You might be affecting somebody's ability to get along in the community because they heard Lashon Hara about you, or because they heard Lashon Hara about the person that you spoke about, they're not going to let them into their clubs, into their cliques, invite them to chasen, invite them to bar mitzvah, invite them to kiddushim. All of this will happen as a result of our Lashon Hara. This is how powerful a force Lashon Hara actually is. So the Chavetz Chaim wasn't just saying, you know what, there's a mitzvah, there's an isser of shatness, we have to work on that. There's an isser of this, there's an isser of that, we have to, you know, check all those boxes. But I see there's a missing box. Okay, I'm going to work on the isser of Lashon Hara. Lashon Hara isn't just another avera. Lashon Hara is life. When we speak Lashon Hara, we're literally destroying life. And that's why the Chavetz Chaim, when he saw that people were being a little too leisurely and casual about this Isser, he had to jump in because he saw what it was really doing in real life that we couldn't see. He knew what was going on with the Almana in the kitchen, but we don't see that. We don't assume that we're going to affect anybody. It's just schmoozing. It stays between us, right? Nothing stays between us. Nothing stays between us. Everything that I tell you, even if you swear confidence to me, you swear secrecy to me, it will get out. Make no mistake about it. It will get out in one form or another. Maybe he thought, he didn't mean my wife. He just said I shouldn't tell other people. My wife I could tell, and your wife doesn't have that same degree of necessarily zahira. So she didn't hear from you how important it was that it shouldn't get out. So she'll tell her friend, and then chavrcha chavrisli, before you know it, it's all out. That's in the time of the Chavetz Chaim. Today, we don't even need that. We know if you put something on WhatsApp, you put something on social media, you put something on Instagram, whatever it is that you're chas v'shalom using, any form of social media that's usser, and all of a sudden, you know, this Lashon Hara could spread and go viral. That's the best word, viral. Viral is the word, because it's just a new word that was developed, you know, I guess with the internet, with, you know, YouTube, whatever, things go viral, but it always goes viral. Always back to the time of Abriyas Ha'olam, it went viral. Things go viral. When I speak Lashon Hara, it goes viral. Always. It never dies with that person, Lashon Hara. Lashon Hara always gets out. And so whenever we speak about somebody else, we have to really understand what we're doing. If we think it's just schmoozing, it's just being social, it's just trying to have a good schmooz, being a good, cool friend, there are such dangers involved. It's literally more dangerous than any weapon that you could. You're going to have an AK-47, you know, shoulder-launched missile. That's not as dangerous as the words that come out of our tongue. Now, the same is true for Torah. The same is true for Tefillah. The same mouth that's uttering words of Lashon Hara that also is being used, Baruch Hashem, we have a mouth, and the mouth is the most precious of the Kayach HaDibra we know is what separates us from Behemoth, the Meisir Adam and Abeba Ayin. The only thing that separates us is the ability that we have to speak. Vayipach B'apav Nishmas Chayim, famous Targum, Ruach memalalah, we are given the power of speech. No animal, animals communicate, they bark and they wail and they do things, but they don't have the power to express intelligent thought. They can't. Intelligent speech is something that's unique to man. And when we use our tongue, when we use our mouth, as much power as we yield when using it for lekayach hara, for lashon hara, for rechilos, for maitzi shemra, for nivol peh, as dangerous, as consequential as that is, you should know that the power of our words are also equally powerful, if not more, when it comes to Devarim Shebekdusha, when it comes to the words of our davening, when it comes to the words of our Torah. You have no idea the power and the blessing that that brings to yourself and to the world around you. The Nefesh HaChaim himself says that there. He says that whatever word comes out, he quotes from Isaiah, the words that you enunciate from your mouth, Nas menukol, that voice that comes out of you, the Eila Lamaila Lamaila, it goes higher and higher. Umis Arim Kotre Melech Elyain, Umis Atrim Bereshai, you're crowning HaKadosh Baruch Hu with your Torah. Beautiful crowns, beautiful ornaments for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, every word of Torah that we say. Do you know that the Vilna Gaon says that the way that you measure the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, like let's say we're learning right now, this is Talmud Torah, how do you measure it? Is it like, do I get a check, do I get Schar and Shemayim for giving for every sentence that I speak, every 10 minutes, every shmooze, the shir, an entire shir, that's what I get Schar of mitzvah of Talmud Torah for? Says the Vilna Gaon, it's for every single word of Torah that you learn is another mitzvah. So if I would have an odometer next to me and it would be counting the amount of words coming out of my mouth, let's say at the end of the shmooze I said 10,000 words, we all get each individually, you, me for speaking, you for listening, 10,000 mitzvahs of Talmud Torah. Now, the mitzvah of Talmud Torah is not an ordinary mitzvah. The mitzvah of Talmud Torah is a Talmud Torah keneged. I'm going to tell you something incredible now, so please pay very good attention to what I'm saying. The Talmud Torah, does anyone have a calculator here, by the way? I'm going to ask you just to, Shmuel's going to help me now with a trick. He's going to have a calculator and we're going to do it together because it's mind-boggling, the numbers. Numbers are very, very strange sometimes. Listen to what happens. The Vilna Gaon says that every single word of Torah is a mitzvah b'fnei atzma. Now, how many mitzvahs is the mitzvah of Talmud Torah? The mitzvah of Talmud Torah is shkula Torah keneged kol mitzvah shkula. So every word of Torah is 613 mitzvahs. Talmud Torah keneged kulam. Every word of, this is from Rav Elie Lapian, or the Chavit, I think quoting the Chavetz Chaim. Every word of Torah is 613, okay? So every single, so type in 613. That's every word. It says like this. He says, Shabbos is also shkula. It's one of those mitzvahs shkulias. It's the mitzvah that is equal to all mitzvahs in the Torah. Shkula, Shabbos, and kol mitzvahs. Another chazal. Says the Chavetz Chaim, every single word of Torah that we learn on Shabbos is 613 times 613.
375,769.
How much?
375,769.
375,000. 375,000 mitzvahs for every word of Torah that we learn on Shabbos. So let's say this shmooze will be given tomorrow on Shabbos instead of today, and we spoke 10,000 words. What's that times 10,000? Doesn't, right?
Oh, here we go. Almost 4 billion.
4 billion. Almost. Okay, 4 billion units of Talmud Torah, which is the greatest schar in Shamayim, just for learning, whatever, 45 minutes of Talmud Torah. Is that incredible? I mean, you know, Bill, you'd think like I have to live a trillion years to be able to get that. No. With an hour of Talmud Torah on Shabbos, Your words are vayave. You're creating worlds. Every word that of klola that you do is horrific. It's destructive. It's cataclysmic. And every word of kedusha that you utter is much more. It's you know, mida taivas maruba mida peranias. As bad as it is to speak lashon hara, but the mida taivas maruba mida peranias chamesh meis. It's 500 times as great. Anything good that you do in life is bad. So it's true. We're not so careful with lashon hara, unfortunately. But after the shmuz, hopefully, we're really going to change. All of us, myself especially. But you should know that as a counterbalance, the words of Torah that we speak with that very tongue is so powerful. You know, the Ketzais brings in the Hakdama to a Sefer that, not the Ketzais, the Shmaitza. In the Hakdama to the Shmaitza, he brings a chazal from somewhere. It's an amazing chazal. It says that one of the Tanoim, one of the Amiraim, I think, asked, he said, if I had been around during the time of Matan Torah, I would have asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu to give us two mouths, one mouth solely for the purpose of Talmud Torah, and one mouth solely for the purpose of doing other things, eating and speaking and whatever, because a mouth is so holy. A mouth that speaks Torah is so holy. You know, the Ran on the first Amud of Nedarim, Beis Amin Aleph, a holy mouth. How could you say such a thing? He's talking about another Rishon. But he's saying this as a, you know, he disagreed, but he argued in this way. You have a holy mouth. How did such a thing come out of a holy mouth? So when the more holy our mouth is, if we're B'nai Torah and we're speaking Torah, we're learning Torah, we're davening, we're giving chizik to one another, how could we say things that are nivol peh? How could we say things that are lashon hara, rechilos, maitzi shemra? How do we do that with the same mouth? We should have a separate mouth. Unfortunately or fortunately, it was denied. That request never happened. It was never made, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu never gave it. But you should know that the mouth is so holy that it should really be separate from the other mouth, other uses that we do with our mouth. But the trick in life is to combine everything together and make sure that the holiness that comes out of our mouth by everything that we're doing properly in life has a hashpa on the things that come out bad of our mouths. So late, I'm sorry. I just want to share something about tefillah. It's an incredible vart in the Alter von Kalem, Reb Simcha Zissel Ziv. He says, listen to this, also incredible. It was worth creating the entire world, the entire universe, sustaining and fueling it for 6,000 years. Also that, in the course of its existence, there will be at least one person who will say Baruch Hu uVaruch Shemai at least once in their lifetime. So think about that. The entire world, with all the wars and all the peace and all of the prosperity and all the hunger and all the hardships and all the tragedies and all of the leisure and the pleasure and the Averis and the Mitzvah, everything, the entire human experiment, was all Kedai, so that one person could come to planet Earth and say for one time in his life, Baruch Hu, Baruch Shemai. That doesn't justify only our personal existence. That justifies the entire planet Earth's existence. One Baruch Hu, Baruch Shemai, our entire life. But he doesn't end there. He says, and yet, 1,000 of these Baruch Hu, Baruch Shemais do not measure up to the value of one Amen. So as powerful as one Baruch Hu Baruch Shemai is that we say or we don't say, we have kavanah, we don't have kavanah, 1,000 of them don't equal one Amen. When you say Amen and you have kavanah, Amen meaning it's true, I validate this, I authorize this, I certify whatever you just said, it's a bracha and I agree, I give a full haskama to what you just said, shakal niya b'dvara, Amen. 1,000 Baruch Hu Baruch Shemai is meaning 1,000 worlds. Were kedai for one amen, not every amen in my entire life, not for Klal Yisrael's cumulative, for my personal amen, once. But he doesn't end there. 1,000 amens will not measure up to the value of one amen Yehei Shmei Rabbah. Amen Yehei Shmei Rabbah is a very powerful little sentence. machlekes in Maran Shabbos, whether, you know, when it says that it's karea agzar din, whether it's you're saying it out loud or you're saying b'chol kavanasai, but whatever it is, when you say amen yesh merabba, that's a thousand thousands of the world being kedai for that one baruch uvir shemai. But then comes the punchline. And a thousand amen yesh merabbas will not add up, says the Alter von Kalem, to one single, solitary word of Torah. Crazy. One word of Torah, one little word of Torah that we're talking right now, that you're learning every morning in the Beis Medrash, and every night, and every afternoon, and on Shabbos, and on Yontif, and before you go to sleep, and you think, you know what, maybe I'll learn a little bit. Do you understand what you're doing? Do we understand what we're doing? Do we have any havana what one word of Torah does to the universe? What it does to the schar that we're able to get and the hashpa taiva that we're able to do by learning for our families, for our communities, for Klal Yisrael, for Eretz Yisrael. We have no idea what Torah is. That's the problem. We're walking through life, and if you didn't come to this shmuz, you would continue walking through life, and I would continue walking through life. And we think Torah is Torah. You know, it's nice. I learned an hour. Okay, Baruch Hashem, now let's go to lunch. Torah is not, you don't understand. We don't understand what we're doing with Torah. That holy mouth, that powerful weapon called our tongue, our mouth, is not only so destructive, but it's so holy, it's so blessed, it's so powerful in the most powerful way. It's a very, very important lessons that we took today. We could really literally, I'm sorry that I went over. The sponsor got his money's worth, I think. But I'll tell you one thing. Let me just end with something because Hanukkah is coming upon us, and I just want to end with one yesod, which is important about this to take into Hanukkah, and that is as follows. The Gemara in Shabbos says, in the Chaf Aleph Amud Beis, describing the miracle of Hanukkah, L'shana Acheres Kavom V'asam Yam Taivim B'Halav V'Aidah. The following year, it took a year, you have to see what the Sfarim HaKadoshim write about why it took a whole year, but it took a year before they were Kaveya, Chazal came, Anshik Nesagdo, whatever, they came and they were Misakin, the Yamim Taivim, the days of Hanukkah, these 8 days, as Yamim Taivim B'Halav V'Aidah, as Yom Tovim, as far as Halal and Eidah is concerned. Says Rashi, Loisha Asurim B'Malacha, not that it's a Yontif, like Pesach, Shavuos, Sukkot, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, you can't drive a car, you can't, obviously we do, it's a regular weekday, Monday is going to be a regular weekday, we're going to be able to do all the things that we do today. So what is it a Yontif for? How do we define it as a Yontif? Shalai nikvo ella likreis halal v'loimer al anisim ba'idah. It's a yantiv as far as what we say. It's a yantiv as far as giving halal vis-a-vis, not hilchas yantiv, not like what we learned about last year, Be'ya, with all of the, you know, what is mutter, eichel nefesh, and no, it's not that type of yantiv. It's a yantiv b'negeya, speaking halal v'idah, to say out to emit from our mouths words of halal. We say halal every morning of halal shalem, and we say in benching and shemene esrei al anisim. What do we see from here? That the entire kvias of yantif, of Hanukkah, is not when we play dreidel, and it's not when we eat sufganiyot, and it's not when we eat latkes, and it's not when we dance around. It's the fact that we say halal and we say al anisim, that is what's creating the dibur, vayave yaisv es dibur es dibasam, the vayave of Hanukkah is the halal neidah. The words that we say is what makes the yantav a yantav. The best example that I could give you is a balloon. If I hand out balloons, and everybody says, wow, thank you, Rabbi, you gave me a flimsy balloon, you know, you put it in your pocket, that's it, right? But now I'm saying, no. For whoever wants to really enjoy the balloon, you have to now take the balloon and blow into it. And you blow into it, and you blow, and you have kavan, and you blow in, blow in, blow in, now you tie it up, now you have a balloon. Hanukkah is not like something like Pesach, that it's really, you know, everyone has the mitzvah matzah mara, everyone's Pesach sort of is the same. Obviously, you know, people that are more into the mitzvah sayayim is obviously it's harezah mishabach, but it's Pesach uniformly around the world for every Jew. Chanukah is a yomtiv that is personal. The more that I blow into Chanukah, as it were, the more kavana that I put into the Hallel that I say, the more I understand the words of Hallel and the feelings of Hallel and the rejoicing of Hallel and the gratitude of Hallel, the more the yomtiv becomes. The balloon gets bigger and bigger. The more Al HaNisim that I say with kavana, and I'm thinking about what the narrative of Al HaNisim is, and I'm trying to really take it in and appreciate it, that's what will make Chanukah great. Chanukah is great because of the yomtiv of Chanukah is nikva, because of Hallel Vayda. The words of Kedusha that we speak with proper kavana, with proper thought, with proper feeling, that is the yomtiv of Chanukah. So two people could be eating the same latkes and benching, but one is blowing into the balloon and making a magnificent Chanukah, a yomtiv that is like no other. And the other person is just keeping his balloon flat and maybe blowing it in a little bit, but without it, and it's nothing. It just is a flat balloon. Words are powerful. Words are not just schmoozing. It's not just words have so much power. It has power l'tzad hara. It has much more power l'tzad ha'tayv, l'tzad ha'kedusha. And we have to be nizer, Abayisai, I'm talking to myself again. We have to be nizer in the laws of Lashon Hara primarily. And the etza that I have to present to you, to offer to you, and it's not a chiddush, but it's to learn the halachas of Lashon Hara. There are so many great svarim out there. Take a lesson a day, Chavetz Chaim Heritage Foundation. Every day, you read a little shtickle. It takes you literally a minute to 2 minutes. You read it by breakfast. In the old days, we used to have somebody that was giving like a chabura in Hilchos Lashon Hara by breakfast. Maybe it was from a lesson a day. There's so many great svarim. You don't have to read and be medayik in the Chavetz Chaim's, you know, where you can get real life, up to the minute, current halachas of Lashon Hara and how it's nageya to every aspect of our life. You just go to the store and buy it, or you probably have it already from Eretz Yisrael. You just have to dust it off. And before you go to sleep at night, the more that you learn about it, the more you will be reminded of it. I started at my own table when we feel like we're not doing so well with Lashon Hara. I start learning every Shabbos. You take out a sefer, I have it by the back, in back of me, by the table, and I take it out and I read it for 5-10 minutes. We talk about it, and at least, if for nothing else, it'll hopefully curb some of the Lashon Hara at that meal. But it will hopefully spill over into the afternoon, into Shalosh Shittos, and into the rest of the week. This is what we're up against. Lashon Hara is not an Aveira like any other Aveira that we could, you know, hopefully be Machmir. If we're not so Machmir, it's also good. Not that any other Aveira is good if you're not Machmir. You should be Machmir in every Aveira. Please don't make... But Lashon Hara, if that's true for any Aveira, that we have to be Machmir for every Aveira, for the Aveira of Lashon Hara, we have to literally, as David HaMelech himself writes, put a Machzim Lefiv. You have to put a muzzle on your mouth. Forget about Shemir. If you don't want to learn the law, you know, the laws of Lashon Hara by your table or by your bed, and you don't want to buy a lesson a day, I have another etza for you. Go to the local pet store and buy a dog muzzle and put that on you. And you're going to say, well, I'm not a dog. Well, I don't know. David HaMelech felt that we're all dogs, that we need a machzim lefiv. We need a muzzle for our mouth to just shut ourselves up already. And that's the reality. We just talk too much. We just talk too much. Our default should not be that we're always talking. Our default should be we're quiet. And then when we think about something really intelligent to say, and it's devoid of Lashon Hara, it's devoid of Chil Hashem, it's devoid of Maitzi Shemra, it's devoid of being Maitzi, of Dvarim Asurim, of Nivol Peh, now we can maybe think about saying it. But it should not be, I'm just off the cuff, off the bat. We don't talk like that. We can't. We can't afford the destruction in this world and next world. We don't have enough going on in Olam Haba about the Averis that we do. We also have to worry about all of the damage that was done as a result of that. We need that. We don't need that. We literally should put a muzzle on our mouth. David HaMelech recommends. This is not my Eitzah. If I would say it, it would be highly inflammatory. David HaMelech is saying we should put a muzzle on our mouth, put a machzim lefiv, because in Olam Emes you'll be so grateful for the fact that you made that choice to muzzle yourself. You don't actually physically have to put on, but just let's shut up. Let's be quiet. Sometimes a woman called me about Shidduchim, and she says, Rabbi Bamberger, I'm calling about this boy. I heard he's a little quiet. Is that true? I said, yeah, he's quiet. That's the most beautiful thing that you could say about a bachur. Do you want a blabbermouth for a son-in-law? Do you want a son-in-law that'll just keep on talking and insulting and bulldozing his way through life? What's wrong with being quiet? What's wrong with being sensitive? What's wrong with thinking a million times before you say anything? Is that such a terrible thing? And she hung up pretty quickly. But that's the reality. There's nothing wrong with being quiet. It's beautiful. Quiet is sensitive. It's much better to, you know, there's a saying, it's better to keep your mouth shut and let people think that you're stupid than to open up your mouth and let people know that you are. When you open up your mouth, you're being megala, how silly you are, how sophomoric you are, how unsophisticated you are by the things that you're saying. And when you're quiet, at least, you know, you might not look like the smart aleck of the room. You might not get all the people going, ooh, you know, yishtach, great, amazing. But you walk out with your dignity. You walk away from the Shabbos table feeling that you still are who you are. It's probably the most important shmuz that I could ever give to myself, because it's something that's so unfortunately trampled upon. And we talk just way too much. And we text way too much, and we email way too much, and we communicate way too much. We're in communication overload. We're always communicating, and always talking, and always, and it has damage. It has real life damage. Let's better use our mouths for Dvarim Shebekdusha, for Taira, for Tefillah, for Chizuk. You see somebody not doing well, you put your arm around them, take a walk, ask what I could do for you, what could I help you with, could we learn together? You don't understand how powerful that is when we do that with that very mouth that could, if we're not careful, be used for such destructiveness. Everybody say, have a beautiful Shabbos. I'm sorry for keeping you extra long, but I hope it was kedai.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.